I'm making good progress, Jonathan, really. We're about 2.5 months in now from the accident. And, you know, relatively, that might seem a short time. It seems an awful long time for me because it's as though my life's been, if you like, on hold during that period, during the busiest time of the racing season as well, which is the most frustrating. But I just keep reminding myself that if things had been a little bit differently, I might not have been here at all, or I might have been left with desperate head injuries, or I might have been left badly paralysed.
What actually happened? How much can you remember?
I can remember it. I was, you know, I'm a busy guy, and it was one of the few days that I wasn't racing. So I rode out, as I do every morning, for Richard Fye in Moulton, and rode 3 or 4 horses out for him, and got back here at home and thought, right, what jobs can I catch up on doing? And one of them was topping the paddock, which is basically cutting grass, and got the tractor out, and it has a cutter on the back. And the cutter is, you can't see a blade, it's beneath a kind of a big cover at the back and behind the tractor. And I was going down the side of one of the fields, and there was a white tape that goes around the perimeter of the field, but it had broken. So I jumped off the tractor, went to pick it up and sort of more or less bring it round behind the tractor, and it snagged on the side of the cutter underneath. All I felt was a mighty sort of lurch forwards. But what seems to have happened, and we're still guessing in a sense, because we can only guess, that behind me it pulled up a fence post, and that post was travelling at a fair bit of speed, and it hit me from behind and did an awful lot of damage to my back. So the damage was that left me with multiple fractures, both in my spine, shattered my pelvis, and also left me with a fracture of my hip as well.
What's got you through it?
People have got me through it as much as anything. The one thing about racing is you're part of a huge family in racing, and no sooner had it happened that the support I received, both from people sending me messages, sending me cards, texts and everything like that. You can see the amount of cards that are here. There's 160, 170 cards here. Some of those are from some of the biggest names in racing, and that's great. Some are from, you know, guys that I worked with 40 years ago, and that's even greater in some respects, that, you know, that they've come out of the woodwork in some shape or form and still remember you. So racing is a great industry like that. You're part of the family, you're one of them.
What was the immediate aftermath of the accident? There you are in the paddock, this fence post comes flying towards your back, smashes into you, breaks bones, fractures your pelvis and does all sorts of other damage. What happens in the immediate aftermath of that? Were you able to call for help, or were you left there waiting until somebody found you?
I had a couple of extraordinary bits of luck. We live in the back of beyond here in Broadby. It's a lovely little place to live, but it's not the easiest place to find. And as you can imagine, mobile phones can be a little bit iffy here. The first good bit of luck was that often when I go down doing jobs like that, I don't even bother taking my mobile phone, because for an hour in the day or something, it's quite nice not to have it. That morning, I did have it with me. Fortunately, I had it in my inside pocket, because had I put it in my trouser pocket, my legs were fairly mangled at the time, and I don't think I would have been able to get it out of my trouser pocket. The next good bit of luck I had was that I had a reception to use it. So I made a call back to the house, and the next very bit of good luck I had was that my partner, Wendy, rather than being at work or gone out somewhere, she was actually here in the house. And without any one of those bits being in place, I dread to think what may have happened, simply because my blood pressure, because of the amount of fractures I had, it dropped that suddenly, that quickly, that, you know, had I been down there for any length of time, I just dread to think what might have happened.
You're sitting here today wearing a rather impressive body brace. I won't do it, but could you give her a little rap on that?
Yeah, it's fairly bulletproof, I think, Jonathan, this.
Can I ask how many operations, how many procedures you've been through, or is that just too many to name at this stage?
No, it's two major operations, actually. The first was a very delicate operation to mend my spine. Very skilled surgeons in Hull Royal Infirmary. Mr. Shah did the operation. Did a very, very neat job, and so there are now six screws in my spine and quite some complex metalwork as well, holding all that together. And a week later, then I had my pelvis put back together, and there was three fractures in my pelvis. The one at the front did not displace, so they did not have to do any surgery on that. But the one at the back, which was either side of my spinal cord, obviously did require a fair bit of thought and a fair bit of metalwork. So, funnily enough, I saw the picture of the X-ray the other day, and there is a 5.5-inch screw in that hold from one side to the other.
What are the doctors saying about your long-term recovery, your prognosis, as they call it?
I think they sound pretty optimistic. We've been back once to see the surgeons and the whole Royal, and they were quite happy after sort of 2 months that everything was healing as it should be. I've since been sort of under the supervision of an excellent physio called Andrew Wilson. He also works out of the James Cook and also the Friaridge Hospital. And he's devised a sort of a series of exercises for me to do and got me going on the crutches. Jonathan, it's a slow burn, this. It has to be a slow burn in a sense. And that's what frustrates me slightly. But I know that things are going as well as they should be, if not better.
I'm guessing that you have got the racing calendar imprinted in your mind, and you could probably tell me every key race meeting in the country, in, maybe abroad as well. Is the great Tom Orion going to make it to Ebor or not?
I may well go. I've had an invitation to go. I did have my one and only day out at the races since this what I would call a life-changing experience, at the last York meeting on the Saturday. And I went in my wheelchair. So for once, I was a wheelchair user at the races, and that again brought in sort of, I wonder what this is going to be like. Quite amazing how well geared the race course is for wheelchair users, and the staff, right from the car park staff to the gate attendants to the lift attendants, and everybody was that well geared for wheelchair users. I found it quite moving, actually, and very encouraging that fortunately for me, I'm only a temporary wheelchair user. People that are in wheelchairs permanently or have been for an awful long time, I thought, well, they're very well catered for.
A couple of days after the accident, you had been due, I know, to attend your final training session, becoming a jockey's coach in the longer term. Is that something you're still going to aim to do?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Apprentices would be coming to me here at home because I've got an equisizer in a stable down below there, an equisizer being a mechanical horse. And any apprentices would come over to me, and I've been doing that for 4 or 5 years. I remember when I was a jockey. Fortunately, I was in a position where I had my father, and he'd been in racing all his life, so you could ask him about things, and he was there as a mentor, both in the riding side of it, but also in the other side. There's so much for any sportsman that you'd like to sort of bounce things off people. You know, I get great enjoyment out of teaching the apprentices. And also, as I say, because they, if something's not going right, that they can come to you and just sound you out. It's a bit of a sounding board. And I think it's a great thing for apprentices to have that. It's not everybody that has that, you know, a little bit of experience somewhere along the line.
Has it made you reassess things at all? Has it put life in perspective? I mean, you know, you've been so very, very busy with so many commitments, and this has been an enforced stop in your life. Have you taken a look back, or have you looked forward and made plans and reassessed?
It has made me reassess a little bit. I think it's made me sort of realise that I was that busy before that it probably completely took over my life. Now, whether I want to be quite as busy as that in the future is debatable. Whether I can be is another thing, because I might be slightly restricted. I may not, but I may be. I don't know. It would be nice in the future to have it slightly more balanced. You know, there was hardly a sort of an hour in the day that I wasn't doing one thing or another in the past. And now that I've had virtually too much time to sort of on my hands, it would be nice to have a little bit of me time as well in the future. It reminds you that it could have been all lost up in that paddock up there. And even though I've had a ball doing what I've enjoyed doing, you know, it has occurred to me that there are other things that I would like to do as well. So you never know. I may reassess things by making up promises.